So tonight we're gonna start talking about something something a little bit different. We're gonna start talking about questions, and for the next few weeks, we're gonna be talking about questions that I believe some of you have. I think we're gonna be talking about questions that some of your friends have. I think we're gonna be talking about questions that maybe you have gotten from people that potentially you didn't know how to answer. And so I want to talk about difficult questions regarding life and God, and some of these questions that often leave us thinking, IDK, I don't know. And so I really think this is going to be a good series, not only for everybody here, because some of these questions you might be like, you know, I don't really have that question, or yeah, I've heard that question, but it doesn't bother me necessarily because I'm a believer, and that's fine. Or you might be like, hey, I'm not a believer. I just came to, you know, play Box of Doom or whatever, and I'm still trying to figure this all out, or I'm still asking questions. And that's okay to be asking questions. That's fine. But questions like, how do I know God is real? Why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Is Jesus the only way? That's a good question, especially in today's culture that is basically saying whatever way is good for you to find God is fine. How do you answer that? Why don't I feel God's presence? That's another one that I've gotten many times from different students saying, you know, I feel like God's not even just talking to me anymore. Like, is he even there? Like, what do we do with that? What do you do with that? And so those are the questions we're going to be answering over the next 4 weeks. We're going to be talking through this for about 4 weeks. And we're going to get real about this stuff. You guys should know me well enough by now to know that I don't really pull punches too often, if ever. And I like to tell you guys like it is. And the reason I do that is, one, that's just how I'm wired. But two, the world doesn't pull punches with you guys. The world doesn't pull punches with you guys. The stuff that you see, that you hear, that you're a part of, questions that you have, may hear, are not softball questions. And so I don't think it does you guys any good to tell you things from a childish perspective. I'd rather tell you straight up like it is. And so that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. And so tonight's question, if you're following along in the Bible app, you certainly can pull that up. But tonight's question, how do I know God is real? How do I know God is real? This is a good question. And it's a foundational question to our life and to our faith. Because honestly, if you're a follower of Jesus, you believe that God exists, all right? And you have to believe that first before we can get to any of the other questions that we're talking about. We got to start here. Now, while we can't necessarily scientifically prove that God is real from a, you know, scientific method like, hey, that, you know, like right there sort of thing, the evidence is ridiculously overwhelming. And I'm going to show you that tonight. We're going to look at some of those things tonight. The universe, the earth, our bodies, you and I, all a part of all of this evidence that is stacked up for the existence of God. And the fact that all of this stuff to happen by chance, I find that tough to believe. God, as the creator of it all, very, very real. Very real. And we're going to look at some of these things. But before we do, I got a few disclaimers, if you will. Number one, it's okay to ask questions. A lot of times in here, at church, not necessarily here, I hope not in here, but at church, when we get this idea about church, or even about school, or even when it comes to asking questions about things that maybe the general public tells you don't ask that, that we get this idea that we shouldn't ask questions and that we just should blindly accept a lot of things. Let me say that I think it's important for you guys to be able to ask questions. I think it's important for you guys to be able to ask questions, and questions where you have doubts in faith, ask those questions. Don't sit there and look at yourself and go, man, I shouldn't even be asking that. That's like wrong that I'm even asking this. I'm not gonna ask for a show of hands or anything like that, but I'd be willing to bet that there's a good majority of you that at one time or another, maybe even this week, you have asked this question. How do I know that God is real? questions, asking questions, good questions, can help us to learn, can help us to grow, and ultimately can actually grow our faith in God. Because just because you're a Christian, and you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, so I shouldn't even be asking this question. It's actually okay. I want you to know from my heart, all right, because something like this starts from the top down. I want this to be a place, and I believe this is a place, where you can feel free to ask your questions and not feel judged, not feel like you're being looked at differently, or like, you know, one of us as leaders or whatever is gonna look at you differently or with a, you know, a lack of respect because you asked this question or that question. If we can't come here and ask questions, hard questions about faith and about life, then what's the point? What's the point of all this? So I wanna start with that. I wanna start with that because asking good questions is okay. This is a safe place for that to happen. And for us to be able to move forward in our faith, I feel like we've gotta ask some of these difficult questions. But how do I know God is real is one of the most frequently asked questions. And it's really the foundation, as I said, of everything that we're gonna talk about for the rest of the series, because if you don't start here, the rest of those questions don't really matter. So we're gonna look at that. If God doesn't exist, church is meaningless, right? This is all just fun and games and a cool t-shirt at the end. Whoop-de-doo. It doesn't really matter. But it does. This all really matters. It matters a lot. So let's talk about some of the objections, all right? There are a lot of objections to the claim that God is real. I'm sure you guys have heard a lot of them. You've maybe seen some of them. People have said things to you because there are some people that have a difficult time believing that God exists. One of the big reasons is because of all the evil in the world. For example, there was a shooting in Las Vegas. I'm sure you've heard about it. And you hear things about that. There was, you know, a shooting in Barberton last night, three doors down from my house, literally, is where they found the guy, all right? And you hear about those kinds of things. It was in the woods. It wasn't actually at a house, but it was in the woods, three doors down and over. But you hear about those kinds of things. You hear about the evil in the world and the crazy things that people are doing, and you're going, if God exists, why are these things happening? That's a question that a lot of people have asked. And if there's an all-powerful, all-loving God, why does he allow those kinds of things to happen with the pain and the heartache and some of those things? I don't need to ask for a show of hands in here because I know everybody would raise your hand if I said, how many of you have had terrible pain and heartache at some point in your life where you just didn't understand why life dealt you the hand that you were dealt? I'm sure everybody would raise your hands to that one. And so it makes you ask questions. And that's a very huge, important question. And it's so big and huge that I'm gonna spend an entire week on it next week. I'm not gonna touch that one tonight. I wanna give you kind of a heads up to know that that's the one I'm gonna hit next week. We're gonna spend the whole time on that one because it needs an entire week to address that one. So that's one of the objections. Another one would be the whole like no proof. And I have a tough time with this one, but it's a common objection that God isn't real because there just isn't any proof. And people say that science contradicts the very existence of God, and that a lot of people believe that everything we experience and that we see in this life is all that there is. And what we can see, what we can touch, is all that's real, and it's all by chance, and it all just happened to show up over a period of time. And there are actually a lot of science professors and even teachers in school. I'm sure you guys have been taught this as well. That, you know, it's all kind of random chance and natural selection and all those kinds of things. And so all of that, quote, contradicts God. I would actually go as far as to say that science does a whole lot more to prove the existence of God, if you really study it, than it does the other way around. And I'm going to show you some of that tonight. But I want to address these objections, a few of them, lightly. We can't get too deep into them, obviously, because of time constraints. But I want to show you the evidence for God that is very real and that's really overwhelming. And I want to start with this before I get into the evidence, because there's really only three things I'm going to hit tonight as far as evidence is concerned. But I want to start by asking you all, whether you are or not, if you're not, just pretend, but to pretend that you're an atheist for a little while, all right? Pretend that you're an atheist. You don't hear that in church very often. But in other words, I want you to pretend that you don't believe that God is real. So I want to spend the rest of the time to try to convince you otherwise. All right? So here are the objections that we've talked about. All right? So let's look at the evidence. All right? So number one, the universe. The universe that we have. Have you ever just stood outside? Honestly, I don't know if any of you have ever done this before. I've done it a few times. Where you just, and you have to get someplace that's pretty clear, not usually around here, because you just really can't see much at night because it's not clear. But you just look up and you can just see the stars and you can just see all of it. And it just feels overwhelming, doesn't it? You look at how big the universe is and you hear about how big it is. And you think about how literally teeny tiny we are in this gigantic universe that we are in. And if you don't realize how big it is, take a look at this video that kind of puts us in perspective a little bit here, all right? So you may have seen this on YouTube or something, but this just puts it in perspective. So there's the moon, right, Mercury, and I want you to look at the different sizes of things. You know how big we are on Earth, right? So there's Earth, there's our planet. Now watch as this keeps going, right? That's Earth, that's Neptune, compared to Earth. Saturn without the rings. It's hujumbus. I'm making up words, right? That's our sun in comparison. And that's a tiny star because we keep going. You got Sirius A, not Sirius Black. You got all these huge stars as we keep going, right? A red giant. Like you can't even see our sun anymore. For one, it's out of the frame, but two, it would be really tiny if you even could, right? And you just keep going. Look at this. Look how big these things are, a red supergiant. And now you got one that's like twice the size of that, hypergiant. It's just like made up stuff. It's so big at this point. All right, check this out. So you're going along the surface of this thing, and that would be Earth. Right? The star has a diameter of about 2 kajillion kilometers. I don't think that's the real number, but it might as well be. Can you imagine that? Right? If a passenger airplane was flying along the surface of the star, that would actually be 600 miles an hour if you do the math. At 600 miles an hour, it would take 1,100 years to go around it. 1,100 years to orbit it one time. Once. That's stupid. I wouldn't even live that long. I don't think you would either. Right? But like, that star, that huge star that makes our Earth look like a speck is one of billions of stars, right? That we see in just our galaxy. Just our galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy, okay? You know how many more galaxies there are? Billions with a B. That is ridiculous, ridiculously huge. The universe is so vast, so complex, and being perfectly held together. Do you really think that all that could have just happened by chance? Because this is one of the objections, is that all of that, as perfectly laid out as that is, happened by chance. So one of the evidence is for the universe, that to believe that all of that randomly happened on its own, I find that tough. I find that tough to believe personally. Evidence number two, the Earth. The Earth that we live on, right? I want to talk about the Earth for just a minute because this to me is huge in terms of the evidence that we see here. Because a lot of the evidence that we're going to talk about tonight for the next few minutes, I would call common sense in some ways. And I'll show you what I mean by that, is to take what we're seeing and the best evidence for what we're seeing, what do you come up with? Do you realize that the conditions on Earth are the exact conditions needed to sustain life? They're the exact conditions needed to sustain life. If one thing was different, there are a ton of parameters, different parameters of Earth and the different things that are going on that are essential to life and for things to be orderly and for the possibility of life to happen here on Earth. Let's just talk about the sun for just a second, and then we'll talk about Earth. But Earth in terms of our relationship to the sun. If we were just a little bit further away from the sun, we'd all freeze. If we were just a little bit closer, we would all burn up. And you know, the water would boil and we wouldn't be able to live. The radiation source from the sun just happens to be the right kind of radiation source that our Earth can then just happen to be able to filter perfectly for us to be able to survive. And if the sun were any bigger, the radiation levels would be crazy. If the sun were any smaller, radiation levels wouldn't be enough to keep us alive. The sun is just right. So talking about the Earth, let's talk about the atmosphere. The oxygen is just the right amount, just the right amount of levels. If it was decreased a little bit, we wouldn't be able to survive. Animals wouldn't be able to breathe, all of that stuff. A few more, everything would be burned up as well. Because if there was just a little bit more oxygen, everything would get burned up. You add this to the fact of the size is perfect, the gravitational pull is perfect, the magnetic field, the thickness of the crust, all of those things are just right. We're talking about specificity is the word here, all right? Everything is just right. It's specifically fine-tuned and just right. There are over 24 parameters of Earth that if any one of them were different, life would not be possible on this planet. All right, so let's say you had like an Earth-creating machine or a universe-creating machine that had 24 dials on it, and all of those dials have to be set exactly right for Earth to exist and for things to be able to exist exactly the way they are right now, okay? Any one of those dials is off by even a single notch. Can't happen. Any one of them. Then it can't happen. Every single dial is set precisely right. Every single dial is fine-tuned for life. And we think that's just maybe a result of random chance. I find that tough to believe. What are the chances of that? Evidence number three, you and me. This is where we're going to get a little more personal. So let's talk about our bodies for just a minute. You might be like, Jay, I do not consider myself any kind of evidence for God. Believe me, I get that perspective. I hope you don't think that because God thinks that you're awesome and he thinks that you're a masterpiece. The Word of God says that. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But our bodies are amazing. The things that our body can do, not... Take away your personal preference of what you think is attractive and not attractive and all of that junk and just take that out of your mind for a second. Just think about the person that's maybe sitting to your left and right and all the things that are happening just perfectly for them to just be alive and here right next to you and in this room. It's weird and crazy if you really think about it. Just think about all the little things that just have to happen for your eye to be able to see me as you're nodding off right now, all right? I don't think any of you caught that. That's okay. But I mean, honestly, just think about that. The complexity of every little bit. Listen to some of these stats, and I put these in the notes so that you can look at them. Our nose can remember 50,000 different scents. 50,000. Similar to a fingerprint, everyone also has unique tongue print. Tongue print? Right? I hope Apple doesn't start using tongue ID on their like iPhone 11. That'd be weird if the face print thing doesn't work. The human brain, when it's awake, produces enough electricity to power a small light bulb. Some of you, maybe not so much. Inside your belly button are thousands of bacteria that form an ecosystem the size of an entire rainforest. Some of you are cleaning out your belly button right now. I get that. Yeah. Don't mess up the ecosystem that's going on right there. The human eye, listen, the human eye can distinguish about 10 million different colors. 10 million different colors your eye can see. If the human eye were a digital camera, it would have 576 megapixels. Even 12. The newest iPhone is a 12 megapixel camera.
Our eyes have 7.5 to 1 thing. Everything we see will be upside down, but like there's a thing that's pushing the image.
Yeah, exactly. Your heartbeat, listen, your heartbeat changes and mimics the music that you listen to. Did you know that? There's more bacteria in your mouth than there are people in the world. Y'all are nasty. All right. There's more bacteria in your mouth than there are people in the world. All right. Listen. Shh. Every day your heart creates enough energy to drive a truck for 20 miles. Give that a shot. Go for it. If uncoiled, the DNA in the cells of your body would stretch 10 billion miles from here to Pluto and back. That's in one of you. Right? There's many of us. That's a lot of DNA. Your heart can keep beating even if it is separated from the body because it has its own electrical impulse. In 30 minutes, the human body gives off enough heat to bring a gallon of water to boil. I think there's a whole lot of water that's been boiling in here because it's really hot in here tonight. Humans are bioluminescent and glow in the dark, but the light that we emit is 1,000 times weaker than our human eyes are able to pick up. That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, we actually glow. Yeah. But your eyes can't see it. Here's the deal. Shh. I know all these things are crazy, but here's the deal, guys. I hope you get the point that our bodies are amazing. Our bodies are amazing. The little things that happen, just the machines that are inside your cells that make one of your cells work. There are tons of little machines that are doing jobs inside each one of your cells to make every cell work properly. That's science. And to believe that all of that is random chance. The Bible backs this up. So check this out. It says in Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Do you really think that you were formed as a result of chance and time? That's really the question I want you to ask yourself. What do you really believe that? Because if that's the truth, then what significance really are we? And if you're still not convinced, you know, because people are like, there's always a chance. There's always a chance. You got that one in quadrillion chance, and we just happen to hit, you know, the dartboard right on the nail. All right? Let me give you an example. I love Legos. I don't know if you guys like Legos, but Legos hurt when you step on them barefoot. It's probably the second worst pain next to childbirth is what I'm told. And so this is an AT-ST. It's a Star Wars vehicle. And it's pretty sweet. Gavin built this for me, and this sits in my office at home. And it's really sweet. And it took a lot of time and energy and effort to build, and he had to use the instructions, and he had to put the pieces exactly in the right place, and he had to follow all the directions and all of that, but it was worth it because that thing is sick. And it's really cool. It doesn't actually walk, but you can kind of make it move and all of that a little bit. And his head does swivel. If you turn it in the back, it swivels so he can shoot people. I may or may not play with this at random times. Don't judge me. So here's the deal. What if instead of following these instructions, putting these together and putting some thought into it, as far as what this is going to be and having a plan of action, nobody looked at this and said, well, somebody just randomly threw Legos and this is what came out. Nobody thinks that. You know what I mean? And I mean, just to be honest with you, like, okay, so I got some Legos here. What are the chances? Let's just put this to the test for a second. If I'm going to put this together, but I want to use no thought, no design, no nothing, what are the chances that I can dump these Legos out? Because that's about the only way you can do it without thought or just random chance. It's just dump them and that I get that. What are the chances of that? Well, let's find out. Here we go. No thought. I did not get an AT-ST from Star Wars when I dumped that. So let's do it again. No, let's not do it again. All right. We're going to pick these up eventually. But here's my point, guys. This this right here, this might be a silly illustration. You don't have to pick them all up right now. You can leave them for a second. This might be a silly illustration, but nobody thinks this. Nobody in their right mind actually thinks that that is how you build this. You don't look at this and think, well, that must just be random chance and random Legos just fell together and made this thing. Isn't that sweet? Yes. Nobody looks at a painting and thinks, well, paint must have just randomly fallen onto a canvas and made something awesome and beautiful. I get some of the impressionistic period, you may think that. That's okay. If you're an art history person, you understand that joke. But there is some stuff like, anyway, but there's some stuff that makes you wonder. But at the same time, nobody honestly thinks that. Nobody honestly thinks that. You look at this and you think somebody carefully and intentionally put the right pieces in the right place at the right time to make it do exactly what it was designed to do. And you know what I see in each and every one of you here? That exact thing. Not random chance. You're not even here tonight by random chance. I don't believe that for a minute. It's not just random chance that you're here. Yes, you had to make the decision to come. So I'm not saying that we don't have free will or anything along those lines. But you are a finished masterpiece, whether you want to believe that or not. There needs to be a creator, an architect, and a designer, because when you look at the universe, when you look at the earth, when you look at yourself, it's asinine to think anything different. It's ridiculous to think anything different than there had to be a creator, an architect, or a designer. And whether you believe that's God, the God of the Bible or not, that's maybe a whole nother conversation. But we have to start with the fact that there is an intelligent designer based on the evidence that we're seeing. The complexities of the universe, our earth, our bodies, so many variables. The evidence, nobody takes evidence like that and thinks it's all random. The Bible actually says that we are without excuse. And I'll be done here in just a second. It says in Isaiah 44:24, it says, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer and Creator. I am the Lord who made all things. I alone stretched out the heavens. Who was with me when I made the earth?" He claims to have made everything. God claims to have made everything. So what are you going to do with that claim? What are you going to do with that claim? Look at Romans chapter 1. Paul says this, "They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky, and through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." What's the point of all this amazing creation? What's the point of our incredible universe, our awesome earth, you? What's the point of all of it? It's to know God. And he wants to be known. He wants to be known. And if you think God is silent, look around. Look around you. Put your preconceived notions and the junk that we do when we look at other people and the judgmental attitudes that we all have. Let's be honest, we do. Put all that crap aside for just a minute and look around. And look at how God shows up every single second of every day in your life, and we just choose to blatantly not even notice it. You know you can see your nose at all times? Your brain just turns it off so that you don't see it. At all times, you can see your nose. And we do that. Stop, follow me. The point of this was not that. The point of it is that we do that sometimes with God. He's there at all times, and we turn it off, because we just get used to not seeing him. The Bible says we have no excuse. We have no reason, no excuse to not believe in God, because the evidence is everywhere, guys, and the evidence is overwhelming. So what's the connection point for the night? How do I know God is real? Because the evidence is all around you. The evidence is all around you. So for you and I, what does this mean as we wrap up? We take this evidence that's all around us. If we're a believer, if we're a follower of Jesus, I hope that this helps you to, put some things together and to get some strong evidence for for being able to answer this question when you get asked and to strengthen your faith. And we do have to have a measure of faith. Clearly, there's still a faith element involved here. There has to be. For us to believe that God exists and to truly believe that God is real, you do have to, at some point, step out on faith. But if you've doubted that God is real, if you're here tonight and you've doubted that God is real, number one, you're still welcome here regardless of where you fall after I pray and we close, okay? I want that to be known clearly. But if you've doubted that, I hope you can see that it's logical and intelligent to believe in the existence of God. Because a lot of times, in many, secular and you know, scholastic areas, if you will, places of higher learning, make it seem like you're an idiot if you believe in the Bible and if you believe in God, that you're a moron if you believe that. The things that we've looked at tonight, I don't think you're a moron if you believe that. In fact, it's logical. It is intelligent. There's some incredibly, incredibly intelligent people, way smarter than me, that have put all of this stuff together. But God wants to be known, and He wants to be known by you, and He wants to have a relationship with you. And everything that He's put in this world to point to Him is for that reason, not just to stand up and say, look how awesome I am necessarily. While He does deserve all the honor and glory, the reason is because He loves you more than anything else, and because He wants to have a relationship with you. And so I hope that you actually take the next step in pursuing Him after hearing about this evidence. James said in the New Testament, the book of James, it says, draw close to God and He will draw close to you. If you are truly here and you are searching for God and you're still asking this question, or you're asking some of these questions that we've talked about, keep pursuing, keep asking. Keep asking these questions, keep trying to draw near to God, and I promise you, He will draw near to you. His word promises you that. If you seek God and you pray, He will show Himself to you in a way that that maybe you've never seen before. Let's all bow our head, close our eyes if we could. If you still have those questions, if you maybe want to talk more about those questions, I would love to talk to you tonight. If you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven tonight, I'd love to talk to you about that as well. Maybe that's the place that we need to start with you. Maybe the place we need to start is do you even believe that God is real? And hopefully you do now. Or maybe you're closer to that. And if you do, the next step is to then have a relationship with Him, because God wants to know you and wants to be known by you. And so if you want to know more about that, you want to know more about actually knowing God, having a relationship with God, I'd love to talk to you tonight. And if that's you, would you be willing to look me right in the eye if you want to know more about that? And just, we can make eye contact and nobody else will know, and we can talk about that tonight. For the rest of us, I hope that this strengthens your faith. Because sometimes we get asked a question like this, and while you may believe that God is real, maybe you don't know how to answer it. And hopefully I've helped you in some ways with that. Jesus, I love You, Lord, and I thank You for Your overwhelming evidence of Your existence, God. Thank You that You love us so much. And Lord, I pray that You'd forgive us for the times that we just forget how amazing and awesome of a creator that You are, God, as You put the evidence all around us all the time, even with what we see in the mirror. And so, Father, I'm so grateful that You love us so much and that You make Yourself so clear to us. Lord, help us to be more aware of that, that You're everywhere. The evidence of You is everywhere. Lord, I just pray that if there's one here that doesn't know You as Savior, God, that tonight might be the night that they get that right, that they get that question answered. And Lord, maybe if there's some here that still have questions and they still want to ask more questions and talk more about this, Lord, I pray that they would feel safe to be able to ask those and to be able to have conversations without getting pushback or judgment or feeling unwelcome because of that. Lord, I love You and thank You for the great night that we've had. Pray that You give us a good rest of the night. Thank You for the food that we're going to have. In Jesus' name, amen.